You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here is your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Well, good Tuesday morning. I am Glenn Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Karen Chatton from Gardnerville, Nevada, and you are listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for June 9th, episode 3968. Good morning, Horse World.
When your start time's on Saturday and your finish time's on Sunday, and it doesn't get much better than best conditioned, and completing the challenge is the challenge, you're an endurance rider.
That's right. It is Endurance Day here on Horses in the Morning, and we thank you for joining us today. Appreciate that. Also, have Karen back here. And Karen, what are we talking about today in the show?
Well, today I'm going to be talking about endurance rider recovery. We're going to be talking about the Arabian Horse Association and other upcoming events in the sport. Mm-hmm.
Very good. And is post-ride recovery because you're post-ride recovering?
Yes, it is.
Figured it was probably top on your mind. And why are you post-ride recovering?
Because I just did a 50 on Saturday at the NASTAR 50, which is put on by the Nevada All-State Trail Riders at Washoe Lake State Park in northern Nevada. And this ride, we finished, my horse did really well, Jovi. We finished in the top 10,
oh, yeah.
And it put me over 40,000 AERC lifetime miles.
Wow. That's a lot of freaking miles.
It's a lot of miles and over three decades of riding. So, yes, that's a big, kind of a big milestone. And so that was kind of fun. Thank you.
Do you know how many people have gone over that mark? It can't be a lot.
Maybe around five.
I was going to say 5 to 10 probably is what I would have guessed.
Yeah, 5 or 6. There's not a lot.
Do you know what the record mileage is, like the number one?
Yeah, I think it's Dave Rabe, and he's probably close to like 80,000. And then Trilby Peterson, I know she was over 50,000.
So you got some catching up. Joby's going to have to ride more.
Right. But I'm definitely up there. So, you know, that was the interesting thing we were noticing at the ride is, you know, how many more women there seems to be in the sport compared to men, you know, compared to years ago. I think
was it majority changing. Men years ago?
I don't know. I don't think it was ever a majority. I think it was always more women, but there were definitely more men than there are now, I think.
That's interesting. Are numbers down in general at the shows this year, or were the numbers good at the show?
I believe this was a pretty good turnout altogether because they had an intro, a 30, a 50 and a 75. So there were several different distances. So there were between, I think, 70 and 80 riders. So it was a really good turnout, I think. But I think overall rides are down.
Are you seeing less people at the hundreds, or are we still seeing numbers up there at the 50s and hundreds?
Well, see, that's the thing. We don't have as many hundreds anymore either.
Right.
You know, that was always something people would aspire to do. You know, like I started in the sport because I wanted to do Tevis because Tevis is so close to me. So Tevis still pulls in, you know, a pretty sizable amount, but it is, again, it's not like it used to be in the heyday when they would close the entries because the ride would be full with over 200. Now they're, you know, I think last year they didn't even have 100.
Yeah, well, that is a big difference. You know, there's a lot goes into that, obviously. Now, this particular ride that was a NASTAR 50.
NASTAR.
NASTAR 50.
Yes.
So I saw you post that this one was pretty challenging, like climbing and sand.
Yeah. Yes. We were climbing big mountains. Like, yes, because we're right here. Washoe Valley is right in the middle of the Sierras, basically on one side. And then So we were climbing big mountains, lots of deep sand, and lots of rocks.
Always makes for a fun day.
it was very challenging.
How'd your renegade hoof boots hold up?
Oh, they were perfect. Yeah. I've been putting sand holes in the front of them, just 2 quarter-inch holes towards the toe. And when I took the boots off at the finish, they were completely clean inside, which is amazing.
I often wondered if a hole would actually encourage the sand to go in more, but I guess you proved that wrong, huh?
Oh, exactly. Exactly. I've been doing sand holes for a couple of years now, a couple seasons, and it works great. The boots come off perfectly clean. And of course, they work perfect all day for me. So, and there were a couple of people that had lost their shoes and ended up putting Renegades on and able to finish the ride because of it. So it's always a good idea to carry a spare hoof boot with you.
Did you hit any snow at the top of the hills?
There's no snow there. It's all melted already.
Okay. I know that some of those places still had snow in the higher elevations. So, well, that's cool. Was it enjoyable or was this more stressful? Where would you put this?
No, well, I'm at the point where I think I enjoy every ride just because I'm happy I'm still riding and still doing 50s. And I'm just happy that my horse is doing well. He's really figured it out and learned how to take good care of himself.
Right. Well, that helps too. It gives you a little more confidence in your horse. That always helps.
Yes.
And he's not your only one that's active right now, right?
Well, I'm starting to ride the others more. And I think that's probably why I'm maybe getting back into a little bit better shape. And so that makes the rides easier. Just the whole, it's a lot of work going to an endurance ride by yourself. You know, you've got to pack up, drive, unpack, set up camp, do the ride. And then comes the hard part is you've got to now take care of your horse, pack up, drive home, unpack, clean up everything, take care of your horse. But you also don't want to forget about taking care of yourself. You've got to learn to take care of yourself. And so that's why I came up with my tip for today, which is on taking care of ourselves as riders after a ride.
Well, we'll get to that in just a second. But one of the things you just said, so you've been doing this for over 30 years. What's changed? What's changed in the 30 years? I know there's probably a lot of things, but if we go to the 30,000 foot level, what are the major things that you've seen?
Well, I think there's been a mental shift from the riders where initially, I think when I first started, the focus was more centered on racing and winning or top 10-ing. And now I think it's changed fundamentally to a shift more towards longevity and horse welfare and making mileage and also the longevity milestones. So
well,
people
good,
now.
Right? That's a good thing.
I think so. I think you see a lot more horses lasting a lot longer in the sport than you used to. Like you would see the 1 to 4 season wonders that would do really good for 1 to 4 seasons. And then the person would end up with another new horse. And now people have realized that once they form that bond and teamwork with their horse, they want to keep riding that same horse for 10 years or more. And so that has become a really big goal.
And anything else? Were there any other options?
Oh, yes, yes. There's been a lot more advances in veterinary care and in the poles, as well as just the overall, like the food management. Like 30 years ago, you would see horses tying up regularly and having issues, metabolic issues more often. Now we have learned how to manage the horses better, how to feed them, how the vets have learned how to evaluate them better and track their perimeters during the vet checks to check on their gut sounds and their hydration and how quickly their horses recover. A horse recovers by taking a CRI, which checks the heart rate before they trot out, and then 1 minute after they do their trot out, you want to see that heart rate come down. And so that's a good indicator of the fitness level. But they've also learned a lot of other stuff, like how to feed better. So So we're avoiding a lot of those metabolic issues to begin with, just because of better, more knowledgeable care. The science has advanced quite a bit.
And that's We've true also across learned, disciplines, right? I mean, all of that is true across disciplines.
I think so. And I think endurance has done a lot towards improving how we manage our horses, you know, before, during, and after events. So that's, you know, also been a very beneficial thing. We've also learned more about the sports science and how to increase longevity on our horses' joints and stuff. And one of those you mentioned just a couple minutes ago was I use Renegade hoof boots. So a lot of the science has advanced there, in that we now have a lot of the polyurethane glue-on shoes and advanced hoof boots that help with the concussion reduction, which protects our horses' joints and helps them to keep going over the hard, rocky footing for thousands of miles.
Do you see, when you were at the show the other day, what would you say the percentage is with traditional shoes anymore in endurance?
It's shrinking quite a bit. Definitely more and more of the riders are going towards the newer stuff that is a little bit more shock absorbing, and you know, they're realizing that they want to do everything they can to promote the longevity of their horses.
Well, and I think, too, from when you started 30
we've
years
also
ago.
Learned.
Go ahead, sorry.
Oh, no, it's okay. Go ahead.
Well, when you started 30 years ago, I think the tack has changed so much, too, right? I mean, all around, from bridles to especially saddles, and everything getting lighter, and just the technology in that has improved so much, too. All across the horse world,
exactly.
But especially in endurance.
Right, exactly. We've learned how to better fit our saddles, more advanced saddle pads, just everything in general, that lower maintenance, easy to care for biothane tack. It all, you know, all these little things come together as little pieces. Like, we've learned how to, you know, feed better electrolyte protocols, you know, how to keep their guts happy with prebiotics, or with, you know, some of the other products that are on the market that help with gut motility. And so we've come a long way.
Okay, so I'm going to put you on the spot here. Is there something that you wished had come further than it has in that 30 years? One particular area or thing that you went, I wish that had gotten better? I am putting her on the spot. I didn't warn her about this one.
I would. No, that's fine. You know, this is where we always end up with this sport and why it's struggling. And I think that would be better overall management of our trail systems. We've had to really fight to keep a lot of trails open. We have lost a lot of trails and therefore a lot of rides. So I think that's one area where not just endurance riders, but trail
fox
riders
hunters, and everything. Yeah.
Everybody, all equestrians, we need to get together better, you know, maybe with the backcountry horsemen or at the trails, Horse Trails Council, and focus a little bit more on that and fighting for our rights to keep a lot of our trails open.
And that's across the board. And you know what? As unfortunate as I don't think that's getting better anytime soon either. You know, there's a lot of people out there fighting for that. But the problem is there's so many different groups out there fighting for the same rights, the bikers and the skiers and, you know, the runners and the hikers and all of that. It just, there's a lot of competing groups, and that doesn't benefit everybody, you know. It doesn't benefit
exactly
anybody
in
the long run.
And then there's growth, you know, like they're building, and so we've lost a lot of trailheads and trail systems to that as well. So
yeah, and I just noticed that a couple of the quote unquote AI centers they want to put in are right through areas like we're talking about, which doesn't help either, right? I mean, it's
right.
all that growth, whether it's houses or businesses or whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. But you know, the other thing that's gotten better over time, Karen, is fly spray. And this episode is brought to you by Farnam and Endure Gold Killer Fly and Mosquito Control, a new fly spray for horses. Discover fly protection redefined with Endure Gold. We use that, by the way. Made to annihilate flies, ticks, and mosquitoes with brand new EPA-approved ingredients never before seen in equine care. Endure Gold is backed by science and built for hard work, delivering fast knockdown and up to 14 days of fly protection. We definitely have seen a lot longer fly protection with this particular fly spray here in Florida than we have seen in the past, that's for sure. Add Endure Gold to your arsenal and upgrade your fly control rotation. You can go search for it at any tack shop or just search for Endure Gold Killer Fly and Mosquito Control. And as I said, we do use that here at the farm, and we're glad we have it this year because the flies were bad, but more so the no-see-ums and all of that have been bad this year too. So check it out today. Let's talk about post-ride recovery. Are you sitting on an ice bag right now?
I'm actually doing really well. All right. So as far as recovering post-endurance ride, we are athletes just like our horses, and we would not dream of doing an endurance ride with our horse and not taking care of them afterwards. But we often ignore doing that for our own selves. So it is super important once we finish an endurance ride and we take care of our horses, that we also take care of ourselves. So within the first 30 to 60 minutes, it's just the same as with our horse. We want to take care of them during that time. We also need to start replacing our own fluids as soon as we get off. I know it's tough. You want to take care of your horse. You need to go get your tack off and go get vetted. But you also need to start, you know, pick up a water bottle, whatever your preference of drink is with electrolytes or water. But start drinking, because the sooner you start drinking, you're going to replace the sweat loss. You're going to help delay your muscle fatigue. So go ahead and start drinking. You know, there's a lot of stuff on the market these days that you can choose from.
My wife has this problem. When she gets done, we got done at the show, I had to force her to drink. She just, you know, you're so focused on the horse. And, you know, I just would have to force her to do it.
You do. You do. And so you want to replace, the science shows you want to replace about 80% of any body weight lost within 4 to 6 hours.
Wow. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So you just got to keep drinking and sipping. You can, you know, there's powders, tablets, sports drinks. You've got to experiment, you know, in training and find what works for you. What can you tolerate? You know, you want to also monitor your urine like you do your horses. And they call that the WUT method. Weight, urine color, which you want to aim for the light straw colored lemonade yellow, and thirst.
Is there an electrolyte or a drink that you use and like that you?
Yes, I like the Redmond Relights. It comes in a powder. They have several different flavors, and it's more of a clean electrolyte compared to some of the bottled sports drinks that you get. It doesn't have a lot of fillers and junk in it, but I really like that.
And that's got better tasting over the years too, hasn't it?
It's way better. Yeah. Yes. And then
it
you've got all the
like
different...
You were just drinking salt, but...
Exactly. Exactly. So, you know, you've got to just keep drinking, keep sipping. You don't need to gulp down a whole bottle at once, although I've done that when I'm really, really thirsty, but you want to just make sure you keep sipping.
Okay.
The other thing is you want a balanced recovery meal within 30 to 60 minutes to replace your glycogen stores and jumpstart the muscle repair. So you want to aim for a certain amount of protein and carbs. So like if you, to put it into scientific numbers, that would look like 2 ounces of carbs and a half ounce of protein. So what would work, just as a generalization, is a pint of chocolate milk or a simple turkey sandwich with a banana.
Okay.
Okay. And so you also want to include anti-inflammatory foods right away, such as berries, cherries, fatty fish or turmeric, which I know that's not always going to be all that practical. So, you know, get some of that chocolate milk and a turkey sandwich.
What's your go-to? Now you finished a ride, you're hanging around for tomorrow. What's your go-to?
Well, sometimes I will do with a banana. I'll also do yogurt because that gives me a little bit of protein. And sometimes I vary between, like, I'll maybe eat a piece of roast beef with a piece of cheese.
Okay.
It just depends. You know, some of the rides, if they're hotter, you crave something more than other times. So I always like to have a variety of things in case I decide, oh, that doesn't sound good, or that does sound good. So that can always vary. The other thing to avoid doing is you don't want to just sit down and not get up.
No, you really want to just sit down and not get up. But
your body really will thank you if you don't, though, because that's when you really get stiff. You know, you get all that lactic acid and it's super easy. And then you don't want to get up and move at all. And then it just escalates. And then then you're stiff and you don't want to move, and then you realize how tired you are. So, you know, post ride, what you want to do, you know, and this is also good. You can just take your horse and go for a walk around camp, you know, stop at all the water troughs, let your horse, you know, drink, you know, walk some more, do that for 10 to 20 minutes, you know, after you've had a chance to rehydrate and grab a bite to eat. And that's really good. You can also work on stretching. It's super important in the days following, because a lot of times it takes a day or 2 days to where you really feel it, where you really get stiff. So you want to spend 20 to 40 minutes of doing some low intensity activity, like walking or swimming, yoga, light stretching, just, you know, taking your horse out for a walk. It's super important to do. You can do some stretches, some hip openers and shoulder rolls, just to keep yourself moving. The more you move, the better you're going to feel, even though it might not seem like it. And one of the things that I used to do, like when I used to have a job where I worked on the second floor and I had to use stairs several times a day. So sometimes the stairs can be really hard. Just go down them backwards.
Yeah, that's the last thing you want to do after.
Exactly. Just go down them backwards. And after you keep moving, you'll be fine. You'll be feeling much, much better. Like I did this ride and I felt good enough. I'm able to do stairs frontwards. So I know that's a good thing.
I think, too, one of the other things that people neglect or don't think a lot about is sleep, right? I mean, it's the way the body heals. And yet it's one of the things that we got. I'll do that later.
Yes, it's exactly. It's super important. You want to aim for 7 to 9 hours of sleep. Last night, I did pretty good. I got 7 hours and 45 minutes and a sleep score of 82 on my Garmin watch. And so I know, you know, usually, like the night before a ride, I don't always get as good a sleep as I would like. But, you know, it's super important post ride. You want to work on that, you know. Make sure, you know, all your lights off, your electronics are off. You can do a little bit of stretching, take a warm shower before you go to bed, because that way it will, you know, the other thing I'll do is while I am in bed is make sure I do my stretches a little bit. You can do a little bit of stretching while you're in bed and that will help, because everything really wants to tighten up.
Well, Karen, to wrap this up, what about long-term strategy, things that maybe we should do and be known ahead of time or, you know, all along to make
right,
sure
yeah,
we're not a disaster
so,
after?
Exactly. It's like a multi-day recovery. So you've got to listen to your body. You've got to treat the days following a ride as part of your training cycle, not an afterthought. You've got to, you know, put yourself first, take care of yourself. So day one post-ride, focus entirely on your hydration, clean food, rest, light walking, and movement. On days 2 and 3, you want to start resuming your normal daily activities, while monitoring your energy levels, your appetite, and any soreness you still have. You want to, you know, pace yourself. You know, some people will be able to bounce back quicker and resume training after just a couple of days off. Some of us that may be aging, or if we're newer and we're not quite in, you know, endurance riding shape completely, you want to err on the side of caution and give yourselves 2 to 3 days of full rest before getting back in the saddle. So keep prioritizing easy to digest meals over heavy fatty foods that will slow down your digestion. And then, as always, the mental component. Remember that endurance riding is psychologically demanding. Give yourself permission to enjoy the mental downtime. You know, you don't have to be right back out there doing it again. Give yourself time to rest and recover and do what works best for your body. And one final bit of advice is to consult with a doctor or sports nutritionist for dietary advice and to check and make sure you don't have any underlying health conditions.
Well, and this, all of this advice is coming from somebody that's done 40,000 miles. So there's that. So congratulations on that again, Karen. You should be really, really proud of that. Do I need to send you a big banner or something that you can hang outside the door, outside the house?
No, thank you.
Or on your trailer when you go places. We need to get a wrap on your trailer that says, I've done 40,000 miles. What have you done? I think that's perfect.
No. I'll just go give my horse a great big hug and tell him how much I appreciate him. He's finally turned into a good little endurance horse for me. So I'm thrilled.
Yes. And I know this was one you worked hard on. So it's not like this one happened instantly. It did not.
No, it's 4 years in the making getting him brought along.
And now Kristen from the Distance Depot is stopping by to talk to us about the hot weather, some hot weather gear. Yep, it's that time of year.
Welcome, Kristen.
Hi, Karen. How are you?
What can I do to keep myself and my horse cool? What have you got?
Well, I think we have you covered. We have a new tight by Carrots. You probably know about the Carrots Ice Fill tight that they've had for years and years. They have just redesigned that tight with some new technology. So it's called the Carrot Cool Core Riding Tech Tight with Pockets. So it has two pockets on either side, great for your phone. And these tights are engineered to maximize the performance throughout thermal regulation with Cool Core 360 moisture movement technology, which in short terms means the hotter you get, the faster Cool Core distributes and evaporates moisture to keep you cool and dry. So pretty cool for these super hot days. They have a four-way stretch, a higher rise. It's just your natural weight, so the waistband won't fold over, which is really pesky. Of course, flat, no chafed seams, and the carrot sticks, which give you a little extra grip, help you hold on in those slippery situations. And they are machine washable, so you can wash them in cold water. They do say don't dry with heat. But other than that, pretty easy to care for. So a really super nice tight for these really hot rides. And then, of course, we have more products. We have a whole page dedicated on the left-hand side navigation menu under For the Rider. It's called Cooling Horse and Rider Accessories. And there you'll find all of the cooling gear. We have products by Equicool, which is also a cooling technology fabric. And they have body wraps for the horse, neck wraps, hock wraps, leg wraps. And then for the rider, they have a cooling sports cap that you can put on, you know, at the hold or just while you're around the barn. And basically all of these products you wet. And they have a cooling sports vest, so you can wear that as well. You do have to wear them wet. That's how the products work. And the horse products, you just simply wet in cool water and wave it and then apply it to the horse. So you can use it over and over. And these are some great lightweight products for keeping cool, too.
How would somebody get in touch with you? What's your website and your phone number?
Okay, they can visit us at www.thedistancedepot.com. And our phone number is toll-free, 866-863-2349.
And our next guest this morning is Terrell O'Shea, who is the Chief Executive Officer of the Arabian Horse Association. Welcome, Terrell.
Well, thank you, Karen. So excited to be here and talk about endurance.
Well, we know you have had incredible success managing the World Class Scottsdale Show, as well as other big events. So tell us, what are your primary strategic goals as you take the reins of the Arabian Horse Association?
So our goals are a blueprint that was put together by our executive board, and it's actually called the Resolution Restructure. And so our number one goal is financial stability. So the Arabian Horse...
That's my number one goal too, by the way, I think.
Yeah, I know. Mine too, actually. I'm learning a few things by reading through the plan here. But like most other breeds, you know, people have gotten away from horses. So breeds are struggling a little bit to keep their foothold. So luckily, the Arabian Horse Association, get to promote this amazing horse that can do so many things. And so our goal is to not only financial stability, but to market this horse in a different manner. We've done such a great job marketing internally to our Arabian Horse people. But what we're going to focus on is telling the rest of the world, the non-horse people, non-Arabian horse people, what this horse is capable of. And, you know, one of the things is endurance and distance riding. So I think we're going to take a look at our marketing plan, try to modernize it to help grow the breed and introduce it to a whole new group of people.
Sounds great. So I know AHA has a lot of different programs that I know I have been involved in, like the trail riding hours, and then also your Legion of Honor and Supreme Honor and stuff like that. How do you plan to balance and grow all of these programs and also incorporate the recreational trail riders and local youth clubs, the competitive breed shows, so that every Arabian owner feels valued?
Yeah, that is exactly what we're working on right now. We just started a marketing campaign called You Belong, because there are so many different factions, you know, from showing horses to trail riding to the recreational horse owner. And, you know, I came into this position not really realizing how many awards programs this association offered. It's amazing. Like, so we're going to look at making sure we communicate those programs better. We have such amazing prizes. So we are going to look at communicating those programs better and letting people know that it's not just about these high-level horse shows. It's about endurance riding. It's about our amateur recreational program, where even if they don't ride and they work with their horse in hand and do liberty, there's a place for them at the Arabian Horse Association to, you know, join these different programs and clubs. And yeah, it's actually really exciting to see what we have. And as a horse, Arabian horse owner, I didn't even know we had many of these programs. So we'll just do a better job communicating to the Arabian horse people and to horse owners in general.
And how did you get into Arabians?
So I, as a young girl, my uncle had a horse and put me on his horse just to sit on and get a picture taken. And I was hooked at that moment. So I asked my parents every day if I could have an Arabian horse. And
God, your parents never talked to their brother again, did they?
I know, right? My favorite uncle, by the way. But finally, when I was 12, I got a horse, and it was purebred Arabian. And you know, at 12, I didn't know anything about breeds, but it was pretty, and thank God it was an Arabian, because I think I rode that horse 14 hours a day, and I don't know if another breed could have kept up. <That's funny. laughs> Yeah, so I've just, from the age of 3 on, I've had a horse or been involved in horses in some way, and I just moved my horses to Denver this weekend, so I'm excited to get out there and start riding this coming weekend.
Good. So you mentioned the athleticism of the Arabian, because they do completely dominate endurance riding. Like, I think the majority of the horses in the top 20 at Tevis every year are Arabians or part Arabians. So how are you going to get the word out about this unmatched athleticism to mainstream distance and trail riders?
Well, that is something that we absolutely are going to focus on. We need to get out of our own backyard. And like I said, we do a great job promoting to ourselves, but we need to try to reach mainstream distance riders and show them, like, we need to support AERC at conventions, trail rides, expos, and just be there as the Arabian Horse Association to let them know the programs we have. I mean, the Arabian horse, like you just said, I think I read a stat that the top 20 horses at Tevis were all Arabian or half Arabian for the last couple of years. And so I think, you know, that speaks for itself. And I think we need to let people know that the Arabians aren't these hot horses that only show in these high-end shows, that they're a partner for the trail, and they're built for endurance. They have the stamina, they have the endurance. So I think it's part of our marketing campaign to, you know, tell these stories and tell them to all horse owners that, you know, endurance riding and distance riding is a great way to get out with your horse, and Arabians are a great choice.
Now, this brings up a good question. Can the crossbreds, like the Korabs and stuff, can they join as well?
Absolutely. So a lot of the programs we're doing now are open to other breeds. And so we are starting some new programs for horses that aren't necessarily registered as a purebred or a half Arabian. And so more to come on that. But our goal is to roll that out because, you know, we need to support all breeds. Absolutely. The horse industry needs to work together. You know, our goal is to promote the Arabian and half Arabian, but absolutely everyone's welcome. And in fact, our distance nationals, we've partnered with the Appaloosas and the Pasifinos, and it's not just Arabians, and we give great awards. So, you know, in hopes people see that, you know, all horses are welcome, but the Arabians, a great choice for the endurance and distance riding world.
Can you tell us some of the benefits of an AHA membership?
Yeah, absolutely. So with an AHA membership, we have various discounts on insurance. And, you know, if you want to buy a John Deere tractor, we have a whole list of benefits. But it's inclusion in our programs that I believe bring the biggest benefit. We have, you know, I must admit, we have great awards and the best I've seen in the horse world. And it's open to all different levels. So with a membership, you can join these different programs, from recreational riding to becoming a member of a local club that offers, you know, learning clinics and you know, each club kind of does something a little different, but, you know, there's, I can follow up with a link to some of the benefits, but there's too many to list, and we're working on more to give value to our members.
And I'm just looking here, and it looks like the basic membership for 1 year is $55, so it's not like it's a lot of money either, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's relatively inexpensive for the benefits you get.
I'll put a link to it's arabianhorses.org. I'll put a link to that in the show notes as well. Congratulations on your new gig. You took on a big one, but then you've run big horse shows all over the world before too. So I think you're up for it. I think this is a fun little challenge for you.
Yes.
You have to put up with people like Karen, though. So I don't know.
I'm a lifetime member of AHA.
Okay. Well, see. Yeah. So you're going to be stuck with her forever is what it comes down
to. Yeah. You're the poster child, Karen, for the endurance and distance world.
Uh-huh. Well, thank you for joining us. We appreciate it. It's arabianhorses.org. Take a look at it. There's all kinds of... Actually, I think since I looked at this last, you have a new website, and it's the most easy website I've ever seen in an association. Some of the association websites are ancient and hard to get around. This one's very easy. It's really nice.
That is so good to hear, and we are making it easier by the day. So thank you for that.
It's really nice.
Thank you.
Everybody that has an association or a website should look at yours as an example, because it really is user friendly. So,
well, thank you.
It's a pet peeve of mine, if you can't tell. Thank you, Terrell. Well, appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you both. Have a great day.
You can enjoy your favorite equine videos all in one place with Ride TV, the ultimate equine streaming platform. The newly relaunched Ride TV has all the series you love, like Rockstar Vets and Mini Horses, plus top-tier training videos and event footage from BarrelRacing.com and Horse and Rider On Demand. Whether you're ready to relax with your favorite series, binge watch competition footage, or train with a world champion, subscribe to Ride TV today for only $19.99 to see where your ride takes you. Visit ridetvgo.tv to subscribe.
Well, that's it for today's show. We hope that you enjoyed it, and we're glad that you're here. I want you to don't forget that this podcast, this episode of Horses in the Morning, has its own feed. It's called the Endurance Rider. You can search for it on any podcast player. Just search Endurance Rider. So if you want to listen to just the past episodes of Endurance, you can do that. They're all right there. I forget how many's on there, but it's a lot. I've been doing this show a long time. So
exactly.
You can find the past episodes on there. Some of the classic interviews we've done, like with Potato that time. That was classic. That has to go down in the history as one of our classic interviews for sure. So anyway, Karen, thanks for doing this. We really appreciate you hanging out with us once a month. Where can people find you?
KarenChatton.com, or go to NV Endurance Rider on the other socials.
And where do they find rides in their area?
Go to AERC.org and look up the ride calendar.
Very good. And of course, we're here every day on Horses in the Morning, 5 days a week. You can follow us on Facebook. Just search for Horses in the Morning, and on any podcast player. We'll be back. Jamie and I will be back tomorrow. We'll have a fun show planned for you and a little weird news on Wednesday. So we'll have that for you as well. Actually, for the endurance crowd, we have a guest on tomorrow who developed an app that you can use yourself to keep track of your horse's movement and to see if it changes over time, to look for lameness, which would be perfect for you guys. He's out of Europe and he's coming out. He's a veterinarian that put this app together, and it's really cool.
Good.
So, yeah.
I'll have to get that.
Yeah.
Have to check that out.
Yeah. Listen in tomorrow on Horses in the Morning. Jamie and I are going to be talking to him. Thank you, everybody. We'll talk to you again next month.